Blog Talk Radio.
If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear. The camera's here, and the microphones, and they wanna know. Oh, 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 yeah.
Hi, this is Bradford Anderson.
I'm the Jackal. Jackal in cyberspace.
If you're listening to Stardish Radio, good evening to you all, and welcome to another edition of Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today is July 16, 2008, and I'm your host, Joanne. Please make a note, tomorrow's show will be at a special time of 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time for Antonio Sabato Jr., so please make sure you tune in for that. Let's dive straight into what we're doing tonight. I have on the phone a very, very personal favorite of mine, and I'm sure for everyone else as well for that matter. So please welcome back to Stardish Radio, my dear sweet friend, Bradford Anderson.
Hey, Joanne, how's it going?
Hi, sweetheart, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. It's a hot day here in Los Angeles. How are you doing?
Oh, it's a hot day here in Florida too, baby. So I know what you,
yeah,
how you feel. I know. It's murder today.
Yeah, it could
murder,
be worse.
Murder. Yeah, but everything's good. How are you doing?
Life is good. I've been so busy, but really great things, and I consider myself very lucky in all that I get to do. So my life is great. My life is
oh,
great.
Yes. You've been one busy guy, Mr. Big Man. I'm so happy that you popped back in for me.
Yes, my pleasure.
Let me just say congratulations to you on all of your successes with the role of Spinelli, because you are just fabulous at it. And,
thank you.
You brought him to a whole other level that I don't even think soap fans really even dreamed of. And to your other little business endeavors, that contain the quintessential 19 necessary fruits, including the magical Brazilian berry. Like that one. I think it's quite adorable how you guys included in the scenes. I love it. I really
well,
do.
It's it's funny. I think some people might have the impression that it's us that are putting that in there, you know, for whatever purposes. But it's actually our head writer, Bob Guza, who drinks it, but is not a distributor. He's not actively, sharing it or anything like that. But he finds it so amusing. I think he finds Steve's involvement incredibly amusing. And so he's the one that puts it in there. Like, we're not – and actually, the first time it was funny, blah, blah, blah. But the fourth time we're talking about it, it's like – because I know that some people are uncomfortable talking about it. For whatever reason, and so I don't want, I don't want people to think that we're so avid about
confident,
pushing it.
Yeah.
That,
right.
You know, but it's not us. It's not us.
That's right. So,
but
I'm
yeah.
glad we cleared that up. So understand, Bob Goose is the one who's writing it. It's not.
Yeah,
it's Bradford.
It's for his own enjoyment, too. It's not, he's not trying to push it for his purposes either. He just finds it funny. So,
right.
But,
know that I always support you guys in that, so I have no problem talking about that.
Right.
You know
right.
that.
No,
I'm not
worried
about that.
Yeah, no, I'm glad it's still working for you.
Oh, yeah, it is. I mean, I stopped doing the distributorship, but I definitely still drink it. I'm actually moving to Buffalo next week. I'm leaving
on purpose?
Florida. On purpose. I am.
What's going on in
Buffalo? My sister moved there with her husband and my nephew, and I'm just a little sick of Florida. So maybe I'll try it again when I go up there. Drinking it, yes, I still do, but promoting it or whatever, I really don't bother.
Well, that's another conversation.
We'll do that another day. You and I will do that another day, darling, because I got
all right.
a lot of here for you. So let's get started. My questions first. Let's see. Your fan club weekend, how was that?
Oh, it's great. It's always great. it's astounding to me the the amount of people that come to Los Angeles from all around the country, all around the world, and to basically just celebrate our show, and that's what it really feels like. And I love that. My events always, I say always, it's 2 years in a row it's been Friday morning, and I've never necessarily consider myself a morning person, but I love having my event like in the early stages of the event of the weekend. And I was lucky to have a big crowd. Everyone was. I hope everyone had a good time. I had a blast. Maybe some people weren't surprised, but I never announced it. It was never official. But Kirsten showed up, which was a joy for me. And we had a really good time. I started up the event. Saying that I was going to do the Q&A at the end, because I usually start my events with like a half hour kind of, storytelling thing, whatever. And so I said, since there were so many people, we were going to forego that and maybe do it at the end. And but it was really because I wanted to do it when Kirsten came, and I still wanted, sure that I had enough time to go around to every table and say hi to everybody. So in order to do that, I couldn't do my own Q&A and then do another one when she was there. So she showed up about 45 minutes into it, and we had a great, fun time on stage, told some stories, answered questions, and she's so much fun. But I know that the fans don't necessarily get to see a lot of her outside of the show, so she was really thrilled to be there, and I think it was fun to have I think it was fun for everybody else too.
Right. Now I've heard a lot of great things about your event, so definitely I can honestly say people did have a great time.
Yay!
Yeah, they did. Who can't have a good time with you? That's what I want to know, because I want to meet that person and kick their ass, because there's nobody that can have a good time with you.
I hope that's true. I hope that's true. Because I can't help but have a good time at those things. Because I've yet to see anyone that comes in there moping. Everyone is genuinely happy to be there. So there's no reason, there's no reason not to have a good time. And I still am astounded by the positivity that people feel towards what we do. And that never gets old for me. So the energy that they bring in, I sup it up and I love it. So
Since we last spoke in April, Spinelli was still blowing up the screens, and it's only gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And he has seemed to finally have found his undeniable true love in Maxi. And they finally consummated it, but she doesn't want to ruin the friendship. So now what's going on here? I mean, Spinelli has sought out advice from every suave, debonair man in Port Charles and still has not accomplished what he wants. When is he just going to stop doing the cyber talk and say, damn it, I love you, Maxie. I'm not letting this get away. Let's do it and be damned everything else.
That's a great question. I he's as much as he knows, as much as he sees what gets women, as much as he sees that the Jasons and the Jaxes and that those guys, the skills that they possess, the character traits that they possess, are what women go for. He truly is. Well, and it's fascinating, and this is something that maybe I need to think about, because the transformation into Damien was actually something that he could accomplish, but when he tries I think what it is that if he can go into a character, he can play at it, but he hasn't found a genuine way to make those traits part of who he is, to integrate them into his own personality. He can maybe, play a character and try to be a poser in a sense, and he can maybe pull that off. But it failed, it came crumbling down. So, I think that is the ultimate goal, is to find it in himself, those qualities. And it's more just, I think it's a confidence thing. And until he finds that confidence, it's never going to happen for him. Because, all those other qualities come out of that basic self-confidence. And he's, self-admittedly, that is something that he does not possess.
Right, and which I really thought that, I mean, I had a feeling this is what they were going to go and what they were going to do with the storyline, but I really thought on your end also that maybe because Ace Spinelli did look so confident once it was done and over with, and when Steve walked in, Jason walks in, the look on his face was incredible. You just
couldn't. I know, wasn't it hilarious?
Pure Kodak moment right there, and hysterical. So I was really hoping that Spinelli was going to be like, all right, you know what, now I'm not messing around no more, and this is what we're going to do. Woman, take some control. We have her by the back of her hair and say, let's go. You know, do that caveman stuff on her or something.
Well, the toughest part about it is that, you know, the way she thought she had taken advantage of me, not, you know, that she had taken advantage of our friendship and my willingness to help her in any situation, and that she took advantage of that trust and that that loyalty. And, you know, so she still doesn't truthfully know how much I am completely enamored with her. You know,
exactly.
That's not something – and, you know, she has a tough time seeing, you know, 10 feet in front of her face. You know, Maxie has a tough time seeing how other people are affected by certain things. And, you know, so that's – you know, even if I told her, maybe she wouldn't hear it. Or, you know, she hears what she wants to hear and she sees what she wants to see. So that, I think that's another part of it. And he, you know, there's that inherent disconnect between the two of them. But underneath the disconnect is an actual really true connection that is pretty lovely. And when they get through their hang-ups and they find that connection, there's something very real there. But it is yet to be negotiated on a full-time level. You know, it's kind of, there's moments of it, and those moments get confused, and, you know, and so, it'll be interesting to see how the roller coaster goes, and, but, you know, I'm thrilled that I got, that Spinelli had that opportunity to feel that connection with someone, because it was life-changing for him, and, you know, and he, granted, the beginning was a little awkward, but the way he talks about the actual occurrence, you know, he talks about how, you know, he didn't feel, he wasn't that awkward, and that he, you know, he didn't doubt himself, that it was empowering. And so, you know, maybe that is a step on the road to, on the road to self-confidence. And, you know, Maxie didn't talk about it being bad. Like, that was not one of the things at all. In fact, you know, I mean, maybe it'll come out at some point as to how the experience actually was for her, regardless of the aftermath in terms of her feeling bad about taking advantage of him. But so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I can't wait for some more to develop out of that. All right, now, the next thing I wanted to ask you about, Night Shift Season 2, you're not going to be on it this season?
Not as a regular. I was not approached to be a regular. Whether or not I do guest appearances, that is still yet to be determined. You know, it's being produced out of house. It's being there's all new writers. There's all new producers. There's, you know, new directors. You know, so it's not. You know, of course, it's still Robert and Patrick, and, you know, Billy Dee is going to be there, and Epiphany is going to be there, and you know, so it'll be reminiscent of last year, but It is an out-of-house production. It's a completely separate thing this year, just because last year it was too much for everybody. So they had
I think so, too. I had actually Jason Thompson on last night, and Ethan Reins was on Monday, and we were talking about that. Yeah, so I'm hoping it's going to be a totally new thing here, you know. So
And I think, I mean, they seemed very excited about it. I know the times that I've talked to Jason about it, he's really happy with the way it's going. And,
and it makes sense.
It makes sense. If you get a new writer in there that's, you know, not one of Bob's team, naturally he doesn't want to take away what's working, but at the same time has his own ideas. And so, you know, if he brought back the exact same cast from last year, how do you not play on those storylines? You know, in order to have a little bit of freedom, he needed some of his own characters.
All right. Well, let me get to some of these questions, because, of course, you know, you always got a ton of callers when you joined.
Yay!
Everyone felt so jilted last time because we had to hang up so early. I actually got a couple of MySpace questions also that were emailed in to me.
Okay.
The first question I have – well, first I have to send a hello to you from Georgette. Plane coming back from California, and she wanted me to send her best wishes to you.
Yay, Gigi.
So there's from Georgette. Then the next question I have here, I heard. This is a question from Judy, who hails from, okay, I know this can't be real, Port Charles, Florida. I never heard of it. But anyway,
I know there's a Port Richey, Florida. I know that.
Yeah, there's Newport Richey. I know. I have a friend that lives in Newport Richey, but I never heard of no Port Charles, Florida. But anyway, her question is, how often, if at all, do you attend Red Sox games, and would you like to come to a spring training game with me?
Oh, that is so sweet. I used to go to Red Sox games two or three times a year when I was growing up, but I haven't been to Fenway Park in probably, I don't know, at least 5 years, if not longer.
Wow.
You know, well, because, see, like, I've been to Boston a couple times over the last couple of years in the summer times, and I've actually had offers for tickets. And unfortunately, the scheduling, you know, generally when I do events, they're Saturday nights. When we do an event weekend, they're Saturday nights.
Right.
And then, you know, I have to generally fly out Sunday. Last time I was in Boston, it was a Red Sox Yankees weekend, and I was offered tickets for the Sunday night show the Sunday night game, but it was the game of the week, so it's prime time, and I have to be on a plane back to LA for work the next day. So I haven't been in a while, and every year my family and I used to drive to Florida, and we would go drive over to Winter Haven, where they're now in St. Pete, I think, Winter Haven is where used to do their spring training, so I used to go there all the time, and so it's been a long time since I've done either, so hopefully at some point, if my schedule ever frees up, I could do that.
Well, you're going to Boston soon, right, in October?
That might already be during play. They might be already doing, yeah. I mean, assuming, hopefully the Red Sox make the playoffs.
Right.
But even if they are playing in Boston that weekend, tickets for playoff games are a little harder to come by, hopefully sometime soon.
Okay. That's your answer, Judy, and I'll make sure that you...
Thanks for the question, Judy, and thank you for the offer. If my schedule clears up, I'll let you know.
The next one is from Brittany, and she's from Croatia.
All right.
Says, hey, I was wondering if you can ask Bradford how it was at the CMA Festival a few weeks ago. I was there and was wondering if him and everyone else had a good time.
The CMAs were incredible. I did my last Camera Ready, the reality series that I do for Soapnet. That was featured this week on the episode. So if anyone wants to see visuals from the CMAs, they can watch go to soapnet.com and
soapnet.com and
watch the episode 4 of Camera Ready. The CMAs were so great. Like, you know, I'm from New Hampshire, and so I didn't have a whole lot of exposure to country music being where I'm from,
right.
But I tell you, those people, like those, the country music performers, they're, you can't, like, I feel like some performers in our day and age, be it pop music or whatever, they're studio musicians, they can hide behind technology, they're maybe not the best singers or performers, but I tell you, country stars, they are amazing, and there's, like, some of the performances I saw, some of the voices I heard, you know, it was just, I mean, and the people that you expect it from, like Carrie Underwood or Faith Hill or, some of the people that no matter where you're from, you've heard of. But, you know, some of the people that I had never been introduced to, I was wowed by. And, to be able to introduce some of these bands was an honor, you know. And, I mean, it was a little strange because, you know, I mean, maybe some of the audience knew who we were, but on the whole, it was kind of like, they weren't there to see us. So we tried to be concise in our introductions, so we didn't get booed. But I felt bad. There was a couple times that Ricky Paul and Rebecca and Becky were out on stage, and the stage managers told them to stall because the performers weren't ready. So there's Ricky Paul and Becky Herbst out in front of 60,000 people trying to like just kind of shoot the breeze and you can feel the audience getting impatient, and they did such a great job, but it happened to them twice. And Becky, I think she gets maybe a little nervous in front of that many people, and I mean, she did so well, but she was so sweet, so nervous, but Yeah, yeah. But no, it was so fun. I've never explored Nashville. Nashville's such a great town. And what a great event that they throw there, the CMA Music Festival. If you like country music or music in general, you'll love it there. It's a big – it's like Superso for country music. I've said that before, but it really felt like that. It's just such a cool event. So I would love to go back.
Okay. Well, we're going to go over to the phones and let's see here. My switchboard is – oh, my gosh. Bradford, you just always get a million people here.
Oh, thanks for calling, everybody.
Amazing that the number of people that call over here. All righty, let's get going. Let's get going, switchboard. We're going to go to area code 312, which is my buddy Tony from Chicago. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Joanne, how you doing, love?
Good. Say hi to Bradford. We only got him for a little while, so I'm trying to make this go a little faster.
Hey, Brad, what's
okay,
going
hey.
On, man?
Good. How are you doing, Tony?
I'm doing fine, man. I'm doing good.
All right.
What Joanna said earlier. You're doing a fantastic job playing Spinelli on General Hospital, and you and Chris.
Thank you.
To make so make a good couple, good screen, good on screen person looking. My question is, if now we all know that Maxie and Spinelli, you know, Maxie's pretty much said to Spinelli, they want to be just friends. No, no. But if Maxie and Lulu were not in the picture, who would Spinelli would go for?
If Maxie and Lulu were not in the picture, that's a great question. There's in terms of younger, you know, people in my age, in Spinelli's age range, there would be Layla, of course. Everyone else is kind of accounted for.
Right. Well, does that really matter in a soap?
I suppose you're right.
what about Vic Sinella?
You know, that was my next thing. You know, Claudia and Spinelli, like, as much as he knows that he should be wary of her, the fascination that she has with him is really kind of, I think it's compelling to him, you know, to have someone of that magnitude, that not only that beauty, but the sex that she carries with her, just the energy that she carries with her. I mean, he's incredibly intimidated by her. And, you know, every time that she expresses, you know, affection, be it of a sisterly nature or whatever it might be, you know, I think it does kind of, you know, it touches him in a very strange way. He does not quite sure what to do with it. So that would be fascinating. That would absolutely be fascinating. And she, I mean, she's available, although she's, you know, I think
she's a Zakara.
She is a Zakara. So that would be an interesting storyline if Claudia and Spinelli were attached. How Jason would deal with that? That would be
oh,
great.
Oh gosh. Well, can I tell you that the girls and everybody in the chat room are saying, being that Claudia had sex with Trevor when she was 16, that she's actually your mother and Trevor would be your father.
Oh my goodness.
Can
oh
you
my
imagine?
Goodness. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how Sarah would feel about people thinking she's old enough to be my mom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Because
all right.
Well, you know what? You know what's funny? It's funny. Not many years separate Sarah and I in real life. So if we were going by real life ages, it would not be feasible. But,
right.
Right.
Okay. All right, Tony. Let me move on to another caller, Tony. Hang on. Okay?
Thank you for the question, Tony.
My pleasure, Brad. Take care.
Okay,
all right. Take care.
Now, Bradford, I know you know this
yes,
next
dear.
Caller. This is my dear friend Linda, who you met at Super Soap with me. Linda.
Yay, Linda.
Hey, Bradford. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good. Just have a quick question. I know you've probably
sure.
got like 50 other people. You know, with your recent success and all, have you like splurged on like one big ticket item? Have you gone out and, you know, gone hog wild and gotten something for yourself that you've always wanted?
You know, that's a great question. I haven't. I spent so long, you know, doing theater and doing that kind of cycle that I was always – I'm not the greatest at saving money, but I'm pretty good. Like, the things that I don't – the things that I never cut back on are good food and good wine. Like, that is – so because I spend – what I think is the appropriate amount for, you know, getting things of quality that I enjoy. I try not to get big ticket items because, you know, I'm really tempted to get a different car. I love my car, but I want a convertible so bad, or at least a car with a sunroof. My car doesn't have a sunroof. I love my little car. I really do. And my grandmother helped me buy it. My mom helped me buy it a few years ago. And so,
right.
You know, it has a sentimental value to me. And I don't need a new car. I do not need a new car. But boy,
Get a sunroof put in it. They can do that nowadays, you know.
Really? They can just install
Absolutely.
A sunroof?
Absolutely. There you go. There's your next splurge item.
Yeah, just having a sunroof installed in my Honda Civic, yeah.
But you want to know something? That's true. What's that show on MTV that Exhibit does, Pimp My Ride? He takes it to that custom place in L.A. They could put a sunroof in your car. We're going to have to send something to Exhibit.
Absolutely. That is so funny. That is so funny. That's not a bad idea. Yeah. But anyway, so the answer is, actually, you know what? I bought a house. Does that count as a splurge?
You know what?
It does.
That's excellent. Congratulations. Definitely.
Well, you know what it was? It was more, it just made sense, you know, with the market the way it is, blah, 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 blah. You know, it was a good way. I think it was, you know, rather than saving my money, buying the house was the best thing I could have done. So, a splurge, probably not. A sound investment, yes.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well,
yeah.
It was great talking
to
you.
That's a great question.
Take care of yourself and keep up the good work. And
thank
we'll
you, Linda. It's good
November.
To talk to you. Yay! I hope so.
Good night.
Yeah. Okay.
Bye, guys.
All right, sweetie. I'll talk to you later. All righty. Let's move on to area code 718, New York City. You're in the house.
Woo-hoo.
Bradford Anderson. Hey, Bradford.
How's it going? Who's this?
It's Alyssa from Brooklyn.
Hey, Alyssa from Brooklyn. How's it going?
I'm good. I just have to tell you, your event was so much fun. I was there
on Friday?
Yes, I was there Friday morning, bright and early.
Yay, thank you so much. I'm so glad you had a good time. Like, you know, as I said, I always have a good time, but it's hard to, since I'm always having a good time, I'd like to think other people are too, but it's nice to hear that that is indeed the case, because, you know, it would be heartbreaking if I was having that much fun and no one else was.
And it was a great
So that's good to know.
It was a great start to my first ever fan club weekend, so.
Oh, good. Well, I hope you'll come back.
Oh, of course. And we did a happy camp all weekend.
Oh, isn't it amazing? It really works.
It really does.
It really does work.
Yeah, and also congratulations on your award that you won at the luncheon.
That was so cool. You know, afterwards, I kind of felt bad. I'm public speaking is not something I necessarily think I'm bad at, but I didn't feel like I necessarily conveyed how truly grateful I was. I made a Steve Burton joke instead. It was the first thing that came to mind. Coming in onto the campus the way Spinelli did and growing and having that kind of the process that he's kind of gone through to get anything that says favorite character is, you know, because I know a lot of people would never been able to say that at some point. And so the fact that he has been able to, you know, to live in so many people's hearts is really it's something I'm really grateful for. And, I we have the best fans in the world for sure.
Yeah.
So, So it was really special for me. And it's really pretty. It's like got this, it looks like something that belongs in Superman's house. So I like that.
I know you got a lot of other people on the line, but I was just wondering, how was it filming the scene where you were in the bar and you picked up the girl and she wound up being a lesbian?
That was so much fun.
Those
scenes in the bar are such a blast. They're such a blast. Because I working with Blake is a lot of fun, the guy that plays Coleman, and seems whenever I get to be in the bar, I get to do something silly and fun, and that was a trip, and it was so sweet. And actually, one of the girls, the girl that played the girlfriend, has has been on the show before. She was on. She did. She's played a nurse a couple times. So so I've seen her around. So to get like a speaking role and while having to kiss another girl was pretty funny. That was fun, and it just kind of perpetuated Spinelli's misfortune. And it's amazing. His misfortune kind of finds a way to come out in so many different ways, and that was a clever way, I thought.
Yeah. Well, it was so nice meeting you this weekend, and hopefully hopefully I'll see you soon.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I'm gonna be in New York in 2 weeks.
I heard. I'm gonna really 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, it's the.
I think it's the end of July, right?
Yeah, July 26th. July 26th at the Marriott. I think it's the Marriott East Side or something like that. July 26th from 6 to 9.
Okay.
6 to 9, we'll be having a good time in New York. I'm so excited. It's been, I always love going back to my old stomping grounds.
Yeah.
So.
Well, great talking to you. And have
Thank
a good
you, day. Alyssa.
No problem. Have a good
Thanks.
Night.
All right, talk to you soon, Kay. Bye.
I got to let you go soon, don't I, Bradford? You got to be out of here soon.
What time is it?
It's 10:31 my time.
10:31. All right. Well, let's keep going. I'm gonna try to push it off as long as I can.
Okay, sweetie.
All right.
Oh, gosh, you just got so many people. All right, Vanessa in New York wants to know, he has been such an amazing addition to the cast. When he began on the show, not only was his character unique from any other character ever on, but he was put to work alongside the kingpins of GH. My question to Brad is, has there been any advice given to him by either Steve or Maurice, or even both, that he has truly taken to better his performances and or his entire GH experience?
Absolutely. And, people may have read this in the past because I've answered a question similar to this before, but I love talking about it. Number one, Steve has been the best friend and mentor I could have asked for in this whole process. And, if it wasn't for him, I don't think I'd still be around, because it was Spinelli's relationship to Jason that I think brought him out into, made him into a much more interesting, complex character. And Steve did say something to me, probably a few months into it that really, really made sense to me and, I think saved me in many senses. He said we were doing a scene which was not necessarily – like a pivotal scene in the arc of a storyline, and I always give my all to every scene. I try to infuse it with as much energy as possible. But for a while, I did feel pressure to make everything wildly funny, because that's what I thought I was there for. And Steve kind of pulled me aside one day and said, "You know what? You don't need to go 110% every scene. Pick your moments. All these storylines are, it's a long process. Each storyline has there are moments that need that, and there are moments that don't need that, because, if it was every moment was 110%, the right moments wouldn't pop.
Right.
So, he really, and it wasn't like don't give your all. It's not that. It's like, pick your moments to go over the top, and especially in the comedic moments, if I'm bouncing off the walls every single time looking to get a laugh, it's not going to work. So,
right.
I really took that to heart, and, I think it's tough because, some of the lines that I get, the writers don't necessarily adhere to that. They don't say, okay,
right.
this week we're going to write him a little more mellow, so I kind of have to make those choices on my own and decide which days I'm going to, stumble
right.
over myself, or which days are going to be a little more subtle. It definitely saved me a little bit, my body and my spirit.
Right.
I was really grateful for that.
Well, Vanessa's in the chat room, and she says, thank you very much, Bradford, for answering the question. So, yay.
Yay. Oh, yay. Well, you're welcome. My pleasure. That was a great question. Thanks for asking.
All right, let's go ahead over here. We are moving to area code 757. Stephanie, you're on the phone with Bradford.
Hi, B-Rad.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Go ahead.
It's not just Stephanie, B-Rad.
Uh-oh.
Do you know this voice?
Oh, my gosh. Tell me, the suspense is killing me.
How about Port Richey?
Oh, my goodness.
Do you know who it is yet?
Hey, Janine.
Yes.
How you doing, girl?
Good. I just wanted to call and give you a hard time, really. We just wanted to call and say hi and show some support, like, no, we were listening.
Oh, thank you.
Somebody's been a stranger, because I know you've been so busy.
Well, you know what? You know what's so funny is I got onto my MySpace for the first time in probably like 2 or 3 months to write a blog just to like say I haven't died or anything. I mean, granted, I think most people know I'm alive, but you know, and I got onto my messages and there was something like 1,000 new messages, and it was the most intimidating thing I've ever seen. anyone out there that is a friend of mine on MySpace, I apologize. I apologize, but I fear that my main means of communication is going to be through blogging, just letting everyone know how I'm doing, because it is when I'm out, like, I've been out of town so much on the weekends, you know, and I work, you know, so much during the week that I honestly don't spend as much time on my computer as I used to, and I feel so bad, but unfortunately that's the way it's headed, but. But I'm not. So, but anyway. But it's so good. You guys are like all the trio of you women are in Florida. That's right. It's like a party in Florida. Yay, Florida.
Yeah, it's always a big party in Florida. Always a big party.
Woo!
I'm actually in Virginia.
She's in Virginia.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for so much. Thank you so much for saying hi. It's good. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you. We'll see you in the future, Super Soap, you know, all that good stuff. But go back to your fans.
All right, cool. All right, have a good night. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Okay, let's go over here to area code 781. You're on the phone with Bradford Anderson.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Who's this?
Megan.
Hi, Megan. How are you?
Yeah. Say that again. I didn't hear it.
Can you hear us okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, how you feeling? You all right?
I'm good.
Okay, good,
that's
good.
Thousand things at once.
Well,
Megan, take a deep breath and what's
right.
Your question for Bradford?
Well, it wasn't. I don't actually have a question. It's more like a comment. I just want
okay.
to. Okay. I totally love the Layla and Spinelli scenes.
The Layla and Spinelli scenes?
Yeah.
Yeah, Nazanin is a great actress. I'm not sure if anyone went out and saw Iron Man, but she had a great little part in Iron Man. And she's great. And ever since she came on to Night Shift, she and I have been good friends. And I really enjoy working with her, and I'm just thrilled that, you know, that Layla is, you know, out of that Robin and Patrick triangle, and that there are things going on for her outside of that, and I'm happy to be part of it, because I think she's a great character and she's a great actress. So I was thrilled about it too. It's tough because, you know, I Kirsten actually gets kind of possessive, which makes me happy, but you know, because when you work with someone, it's nice to know that they enjoy working with you. And so Kirsten wanted to make sure that I didn't get pulled away from her, but very much as I wanted to make sure that Kirsten didn't get pulled away with me when she does scenes with the Matt character. So, but yeah, and they did a really nice job. The scenes that I had with Layla, they did a really nice job with their social commentary and her, their, you know, the family relations with her and her mom. And I thought those were really well done. So, but maybe there'll be more scenes. Who knows? Maybe I can have two girls fawning all over me. You know, maybe a Layla and Maxie triangle. That'd be awesome. I'm all up for that. Woo-hoo.
That is what we want to say. Absolutely.
People want to see.
Mm-hmm. So, that's a great question. Thank you.
Thanks, Megan.
Can you keep me on the line because I can't hear it on the computer? So I'm
yes, sweetheart. I'll put you on hold. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye, Megan.
Bye.
Oh gosh, Bradford, does it even okay, now that you've done all this, these appearances, and people just know you, have to know you everywhere, what has been the most strangest thing a fan has done for you so far?
That a fan has done for me so far? Well, it's,
yeah, or done
you know,
to
like,
you, or followed you.
Yeah.
Or the strangest fan thing.
Well, you know what, the thing about the interaction that I have with people that watch the show is that it always comes from a very positive place. You know, there's, you know, and even if people are very, you know, overzealous, it's never something that freaks me out or anything like that. It's just like we have a common interest. You know, we have a common
right.
love for something that's really great, and so,
right.
You know, so I never see anything as strange. I mean, there's been funny interactions, and you know, like when people do recognize me, which truthfully doesn't happen all that much. I think I kind of, you know, if I'm not wearing a hooded sweatshirt with my hair in my face and a satchel around my shoulder, you know, if I'm wearing my glasses with my hair back and dressing like
right.
a, you know, a regular person, you know, I don't necessarily stand out to people. They might look at me strangely and then shake their head and like, nah, it wasn't him. You know, so, but one of the funniest things that happened to me, and I may have told this story before, forgive me if I'm being redundant, but I was at LAX in a parking shuttle, going back to the parking structure I parked in, and there was this businessman looking at me strangely, and, you know, the majority of people that recognize me are women, because I would venture to guess that the majority of our viewing audience is women, and so, and, you know, he was looking at me strangely. So I didn't automatically assume he recognized me. And it was this parking shuttle full of people. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden he leaned across to me, and not in a whisper, but like in a very present voice, just said, "Excuse me, but are you the Jackal?" And the whole shuttle, all these people looked at me. And, you know, who knows what they thought? We're at an airport. I mean, you know,
right.
if someone calls me the Jackal, you know, like it could not be a good thing. So there were a lot of people that didn't quite know what that meant or what to do from that point on. So that was really funny. That was really funny.
Right.
And yeah, and it, some of the things that people shout at me if they do recognize me, no one really knows, you know, a casual watcher will not know my name. They just know
right.
me as Spinelli, which is kind of cool. That means the character is really something on his own. And so, you know, I've had people yell Grasshopper. I've had people yell, of course, Jackal. You know, like, it's funny what they'll, or, you know, where's Stone Cold, or where, you know, it's always an adventure.
Well,
for
that's
sure.
Good. I really hope that you're going to be back at Super Soap this year, because that's probably where I'll see you next. You know, that's my yearly, Linda and
yeah.
I's yearly thing.
Right.
But I don't want to keep you too much longer. It's 10:45 now, and I know we're 15 minutes past our time.
Okay. All right. But yeah, let's say two more calls or two more
okay.
whatever you like.
Okay. Well, we'll take a call, and then I have one final question for you. So
okay.
We're gonna
All right.
To the, this is just the lottery people. It's nothing personal because there's like a million of you. So I'm just like literally closing my eyes, and whoever I land on, that's who we're landing on. So okay, I'm opening my eyes. Area code 408. 408, you're on the phone with Bradford.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Christine.
Hi, Christine. Are you having a good night?
Yeah. I didn't
Great.
Know
oh, it's okay. Is there a question that you have or a comment or something that you're just dying to get off your chest? What's going on?
I really love Spinelli and Maxie. I really want them to be like a couple. And oh my God, I'm so nervous.
Oh, no, it's okay. We're just here among friends. We're just chatting. Spinelli and Maxi, as you might guess, I'm a pretty big fan of Spinelli and Maxi too. So it would be nice to see what their potential is, and hopefully we'll get an opportunity. Is there any specific thing about the relationship or about the show that you have a question about, or a particular part of, you know, the Spinelli and Maxi scenario?
What's your favorite Spinelli scene that you enjoyed or liked?
I would say that's such a hard question because the first scene I ever shot with Tony Geary was so much fun. I've had so many fun scenes with Steve where we just get to joke around. I really enjoyed I've always realized how lucky I am to have this character. But when we started doing Spinelli Fantasies, when we started doing the first Spinelli fantasy I ever had was when that Kung Fu fantasy with rescuing Sonny at the Metro Court, and and I get to punch that guy out, and I get to do a stunt roll, and then and then Lulu comes in and I spin her into a kiss, and that was the first time that I get to do something like that, and that's when I kind of when that door opened of, well, Spinelli could have fantasies about just about anything, and we kind of done that. that was the start of something really special, and to have that much fun with Maurice, and to have Maurice just be so goofy and calling me Cupcake, and it was just, so that was, off the top of my head, that is, but then again, I get so many, that first drunk scene that I get to do with Julie, being drunk with Julie, that was so much fun. And being all the Metro Court scenes with Steve of, telling him to hunch in the air ventilation system, my every day is could be labeled as a favorite scene. I know that sounds like a cop out, but it's really every day is an adventure, and I'm so I'm very, very lucky. But yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. But thank you for the question. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I couldn't pick out a favorite Spinelli scene either. I love all your scenes.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad you got through. Thank you so much for calling.
Yeah. Thanks for doing this, like, everyone. You're so
Oh, of course. It's my pleasure. All right. Have a good rest of your night.
Good night.
Okay. Bye.
We got one more caller, Brad, and we'll move on to our exit.
We'll go to my hometown, area code 954. Someone down here in Broward County is on the phone for Bradford Anderson.
Hello.
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 Hi.
Hi, who's this?
Vanita.
Vanita?
I've talked to you several times on MySpace, and I make your videos. I made your wedding video.
Oh, yay. How's it going?
Good.
Good. Thank you so much for calling in. I'm so glad you got through.
I did. I am too. I've never got to speak with you in person, so it's nice.
How exciting for me. Oh, this is exciting. It's monumental, in fact.
It is. I have a quick question that if I don't ask, my friend Brianna will kill me.
Uh-oh. Well,
she wants
want
to
that.
Know. She's the biggest Spinelli fan, freak. She's so scared to even call to talk to you.
No.
We were talking about your sex scene with Maxi.
Yeah.
And was that weird for you? Was it, because Spinelli's always acts weird, but was it weird trying to act weird?
Well, it's funny because, Kirsten and I, we're pretty good friends now, but truthfully, she feels almost like a sister to me. We have that kind of joking relationship where we, it feels almost like a sibling thing, and so to have scenes like that where we have to kind of go to a different place is a little awkward. I can't
imagine you being that nervous during doing something like that. So I'm just wondering if it was.
Yeah, well, in my own life, when the moment is right, I like to think that I'm confident and dashing in those situations, but for Spinelli, certainly that that came out of such a it came out of a place that he certainly wasn't expecting, obviously. And but so I think it was a combination of knowing that everything would be okay, but not necessarily having the skills to make it go seamlessly, you know. And so in the director, you know, I was hoping that they wouldn't make a complete gag of everything, that it wouldn't just be, you know, a comedy scene, that there would be. And I think they actually did a nice job of making it lighthearted and, you know, true to character without making a mockery of it. And so, you know, so the joke was that, you know, Spinelli is working on getting her shirt off, which is, you know, a little sweater with buttons. And then the time that it takes him to undo three buttons, she's already got him completely undressed. Because Maxie is perhaps a little more practiced at the art of taking other people's clothes off.
They're screaming at me to mention the belt.
Yeah, that was really funny. She just grabbed that belt and off it came. It kind of took me by surprise. I watched the scene and I realized that I was kind of panting throughout the entire thing, which actually sounded kind of creepy. But I think it would make sense for him to kind of just not know, you know, to be slight of breath, to not know what to say, to not know how to react to certain things. And all of a sudden here's the girl of his dreams, you know, taking his clothes off. And I guess it kind of made sense, but if anyone found it creepy, I apologize.
We didn't. We thought it was hot.
Yeah. How good. No, it's funny. I was curious how people would react to that because, you know, ABC really, you know, did a lot to promote the event, and they really made it seem like it would be an event, and the scene itself was, it wasn't a big love montage by any means. But hopefully the character arc of it for both of Spinelli and Maxie was satisfying to the people that watched.
It was satisfying to us.
Well, oh, good.
And
well,
thank
good.
You. And when you get to work, you have to tell Steve, I so love him.
Okay, I will.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. It's so nice to finally talk to you. Thank
you
so much for calling in.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, give my best to Brand and all those people in the background.
Well, she's listening right now, so you can tell her yourself.
Oh yay! Thank you, thank you for liking me. and never be afraid to talk to me. I'm not too scary.
Oh, she is. She gets nervous. She'd probably hang up on you. That's why she didn't want to talk.
Oh gosh. That's funny.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Well,
thank you.
All right. Have a good night. Bye.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Okay, Bradford.
Yes, dear.
I have a 7-year-old here that loves Spinelli.
Okay.
And he won't go to bed until he talks to you. So, say hello to Tyler.
Hi, Tyler.
Hi, Bradford.
How's it going, pal?
Good.
Yeah, where are you from?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you from?
I'm from Weston.
Weston,
Florida.
Weston, Florida. Oh my goodness. So do you watch our show?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you like about it?
Well, I like about it is that you act very nice.
I try to. I'm not sure if it's in me to play a mean character. Yeah. No. I like that my character that I get to play is a nice guy. Yeah. Well, that's a good observation, and I appreciate you thinking I'm nice. Is there anything you want to know, or is there anything you want to talk about?
No, thank you.
Well, I tell you, it's a thrill just to talk to you. So I'm really grateful that you called in. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Goodbye.
And keep watching, okay, pal?
Good night.
Good night. Bye, Tyler.
Hello.
Hey, that was awesome.
When I told him you were coming on the show, he couldn't wait to talk to you because he loves watching your scenes.
Of course, that's awesome.
The G-rated ones.
Yes,
but,
of course.
Well, my darling, once again, you broke another record here on Stardish Radio. And, of course, you know, always have an open invitation.
Thank you.
Whenever
thank you, thank
it is. And I will actually send you an email regarding that other thing because there was some talks about possibly doing something concerning what we were talking about earlier. So,
okay.
On the show, so I thought that would be pretty cool.
All right, yeah, let me know.
Oh, definitely.
Cool.
Okay. So, well, you know what?
Thank you, everybody, for calling in and for listening and supporting Joanne. And you got a great thing going there. I'm so glad that you have such a response. And Antonio Sabato Jr. tomorrow, amazing.
Yes. Can I tell you, I rarely gush Bradford, but I'm gushing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm gushing over him, definitely.
Gush away, girl.
Back in the day, you know?
Absolutely.
Was the guy. But you know what? So are you. You got your own sex appeal, and you got your gushes in this chat room. So, you know what?
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you so much.
You're always welcome. So thank you again for coming on Stardish, and I will be chatting with you soon, okay?
All right. Have a great night.
All right. Thanks, Bradford. Good night.
Bye.
Okay, everyone, let's say thank you to Bradford Anderson for coming on the show. Once again, we had an awesome response to his appearance on the show, and I apologize to those of you who I could not get to quick enough. Bradford answers his questions, and when he answers them in depth, and that's why we love him so much. We have 4 minutes left remaining on the show. Tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, special time. I just want everybody to make sure they know.
Antonio Sabato
Jr., right, Tony? And we'll be on the show tomorrow night at 6 o'clock Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific. Monday, Carrie Southworth from the new General Hospital Night Shift Season 2 will be on at regular scheduled time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. She'll be playing the role of Dr. Claire Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tuesday, the 22nd, we'll have Christina Chambers on the phone, former Marty Saybrook on One Life to Live. We're going to be talking about her new endeavors. And Wednesday, the 23rd, we will have Denise Vassy from All My Children,
AKA
who plays Randy Morgan.
Randy.
Yes.
By the
way,
Frankie Connection.
Yes, yes, yes. So we're going to have a nice busy week. And then Stardish is going to be off the air until let me look at my calendar, until I believe it's the second week of August, going on a little vacation, moving. So possibly I will be, you know, replaying older interviews so, you know, people can hear whatever they missed and whatever. Make sure you go to the download section, download and rate the show, as always.
That's right.
And thanks again for Bradford. And you know what, Tony, there was such a huge turnout for Jason Thompson yesterday. I didn't even see half the people that were on the phone. There were so many people. We had over 200 users in the chat room for Jason Thompson. Yeah.
And I tried to call in late last night, late yesterday with the show, but I was too busy because I was at a pre-screen of a movie that's coming out pretty soon starring Jack Black and Ben Stiller and Robert Downey Jr. called Tropic Thunder.
Oh, okay.
So it ended right before like 9:45, so I tried to get on,
I saw your number pop up right as we were getting ready to hang up. So I want to just send out some more appreciation to Bradford because he was only supposed to be on for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So that really shows what kind of guy he is, and he definitely stayed for the hour. It was amazing.
And he's
going to
break a record. He's going to break that record. I think he's going to break that record.
Of course. Oh, well, we'll see.
Megan's not
going to
be very happy.
Yeah, well, you know, it's going to be between her, Brandon, her, Bradford, and Jason. So we'll have to monitor that. So, all right, we're going to sign out now. We've got 1 minute remaining. 6 p.m., Antonio Sabato Jr., are you going to be there for that one?
I will try to get there. I won't be there as a host. I'll probably need to call in before the show's over.
Okay. All right. Well, Tony, once again, thanks for calling in. And
my pleasure,
always,
Joanne.
Always welcome. So, everybody, thank you for listening to Stardish Radio, and we are out of here.
Take care.
Good night.
Good night.
Hey, I'm Edie Regal on Stardish. Thank you so much for listening.